everyone, and welcome to Fangirling Episode 6. I'm your host, Nat. We're joined by some new guests and a return guest today, and we're just going to go around and introduce everybody, if that's all right with you. Let's start with you, Paige.
Hi, my name is Paige. So you can find me online at next_Paige on Twitter. I'm also part of Tavern Tales in the podcasts and Fangirls.
Awesome, thanks. And how about
Hi,
you, Mike?
I'm Mike Goodhart, and I play the role of the elderly gentleman in the Minisode. And you can find me on Twitter at Mike G or at Goodhearted. And I spend most of my time talking about Star Wars and, you know, generally trying to be funny and fishing for likes.
You definitely have mine. And I guess we should also introduce Paige as playing Sarah in the audio drama. Sorry for not asking for that, too.
That's okay.
That's on me for hosting. How about you, Angela?
Hi, my name is Angela McCain. I'm a voice actor and creator over on nerdsmith.org. I play the elderly woman in the minisode, and I helped write the script. And I'm also a showrunner for Packless Patrons, a new animated web series that just got kickstarted.
Oh, awesome. And of course, we've got return guest Velvet, who plays our lovely Christy on the audio drama.
Hi, everyone. I'm Velvet Divine. Happy to be back. Like Nat said, I play mom friend Christy on Fangirls. You can also find me on Stories of a Broken Sun as Maeve, the Mother of Monsters, Flight Risk as Anarchy, and as Apollyon on the Morty's Devil's Twitch stream.
Which I will be joining soon, so I'm happy to play with you for first time. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today, guys. Really appreciate it. I know that we'll talk about the audio drama today, but I also know that some very important Star Wars news broke today, and I'm hoping to get some of your guys' live, in-person reactions. Who wants to go first on that?
I just finished watching it on the large screen, I guess you could call it, my television. I spent most of the day looking at the phone. But this is probably my favorite trailer for this movie so far. Obviously, there's only been two. But just the whole emotional kind of tone poem of the beginning of it really sets up the climax of the trailer. And I feel like JJ is going for a very specific feel in this trailer, and it's kind of sums up what Kathleen said when she said that it's a hopeful film, even though the kicker at the end is the thing everybody was talking about. I really felt like everything leading up to Rey opening her eyes before the end of it was just, that's the part that stuck with me the most, I think.
Yeah, that ending is just a real kick in the gut, isn't it? Anybody else watch the new GMA trailer?
I did. I have theories about that final moment, personally.
Is Dark Rey a vision or is she real? That's the big question.
Yeah. I'm leaning very much towards, since they're really emphasizing the nostalgia of the previous trilogy, and or I guess chronologically the previous trilogy, and I think it's going to be like a vision. That I think they leaned into that very heavily in the last movie. There was a very notable vision sequence, and I think they might continue that.
Velvet, did you watch it?
I did. And I do agree. I think towards the end, it's probably a vision, but even if it was like real, I would be all about it.
Yeah, it's still exciting to get that new costume and that really cool lightsaber, right? Well, we can go into your guys' experiences with recording for the audio drama. And so far, we're reaching the end of it. And I know, you know, some of you are only on one episode, but also on a minisode. Is that correct? And we can talk about how you approached your characters, what you liked about it, your favorite lines, that kind of thing. I'll start with you, Paige.
Well, my favorite thing probably about my character that I got to play, Sarah, was making other people feel sleepy with all her yawning. It was pretty great.
Multiple takes on that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Actually, no, it wasn't so bad. I feel like the recording session was pretty quick. It's a fairly small little insert, so it wasn't too bad. Going into it, I had to work on making my voice sound a little bit older, which was fun. And then trying, of course, to get the sleepy sound across in your voice while you're speaking, especially because I have a very high-tone positive voice. It can be hard to not have it energetic. So it was a challenge, but it was really a lot of fun.
Were you actually sleepy when you recorded?
I'm always sleepy.
Mood.
That's the big mood, for sure. How about you, Angela?
Well, I am specifically in episode 6, I have a very, very minor appearance. But that was very sort of surface level in terms of performance. But I just really appreciated how the role ended up, the elderly couple ended up getting expanded, and we got to explore them a little bit in the minisode that, that'll be coming out. I really, really enjoyed this idea of bringing in the generational perspective on Star Wars fandom and realizing, you know, yeah, it's been around for a very long time at this point. Are we almost at like almost 50 years now? So there's a tremendous amount of generational memory with Star Wars, and I thought it was a really nice way to explore how families can connect with it. From grandparents to grandkids.
Yeah, we're all really excited to hear it. Yeah, sounds like it's gonna be fun. So, Mike, did you work with Angela on this, or?
I didn't, actually. It was completely in isolation. It was.
We were separated by geography and booths.
Yeah, this was all Angela's doing, but you know, I contributed what I could.
You did a lovely job. I have heard the rough draft.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, so as far as like approaching how I approached it is I really kind of took to heart the sort of the theme of generational, you know, the passing of this sort of fandom torch from one generation to another, and also just as we go through the cycles and stages of our lives, so Star Wars has gone through, and that was sort of a thing that really struck me about the beginning of that piece of media today was, as you'd see in chronological order of the release, sort of how the franchise has evolved over the years and how each generation picks up their new characters and their new memories from it. And it becomes something that we can share together, but it's very intensely personal as well.
Yeah, I think most of us have grown up with it, you know, in one stage or another. And being able to see that full run from the original trilogy all the way to, you know, the new content has been really inspiring, I think. And also to see kids getting into the new series and getting into the old stuff as well. So in terms of playing an older couple, did you guys have any specific acting cues that you took out of, like, to go into that?
Well, for me, I just kind of was, I wanted to kind of just sort of be myself because being a middle-aged fan, I kind of wanted to kind of carry just, it's much easier just to pull my own experience in, but then I kind of wanted to, what I did for voice kind of stuff was just try not to sound exactly like myself, because then I could sort of change it a little bit as I got older. You know, I sort of walked the kind of right up to the edge of some different influences, a little Albert Brooks, maybe a little Pacino, but it was ultimately just kind of me just getting into that mood. I started kind of feeling it a little more as I went, and I did a few runs, but that was pretty much it. It was just kind of trying to be myself with a little something extra, but that's kind of how I approached it.
Nice. How about you, Angela?
My original take was much, much older, like stereotypical older person. And eventually we adjusted the age range, or the age range was adjusted a little bit. So I know plenty of people in their 60s and 70s that are just as spry, just as energetic as they were when they were younger. And so I like the idea of letting a character who is older than your typical like protagonist still sounding like just a middle-aged adult, because not a tremendous amount will change if you take care of yourself and you have luck in the health roulette. But yeah, so I really enjoyed the dichotomy between playing I guess it's Hannah and Lee, because I'm a dork and decided I wanted a Han and Leia joke.
Nice.
So
I literally just figured that out. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm a huge ass dork. But yeah, I really enjoyed getting to push a little bit on the lighter side as our younger selves. And there might be a little bit of a rasp, but not too much. I let her energy level kind of speak for it rather than her
awesome
voice.
Did you? It sounds like you had a lot of fun writing it as well. Got to throw in some references.
I wrote through that script so quickly. I got the bug. Once I got rolling on it, I turned it out really quick and was very happy with how it came out. I personally really love writing like silly, flirty moments. It's like one of my favorite things to write. So this thing was nothing but that. And so I really had a lot of fun making different scenarios up for them to interact
with. Very awesome. I'm sure we'll have some shippers in the audience. Speaking of shipping, we have a couple here in, you know, of course, Christy and Sarah. Did you guys work together at all, or like just do the table reads together?
Just the table reads.
No.
There's a first time for everything, right? Velvet, how have you been enjoying, you know, the late stage recording, or have you already recorded all of your lines and are done?
Oh, I recorded everything and now I miss it.
You've got like the nostalgia for recording.
I do.
How's it been like for you to hear everything come together?
Honestly, I've only heard bits due to like the dysphoria. I don't go back and listen to like my own stuff, but the other bits I've heard of everybody else like joined together has been amazing.
Awesome. Any favorite moments of recording for the later episodes?
As far as recording, I think just trying to nail the energy and the responses that I had during the table reads with everybody else.
Yeah, it can be hard to replicate, right?
Exactly.
When you're recording on your own. Any specific moments or scenes that you liked recording?
Everything was a lot of fun. I think one of my favorites, so not to spoil it, but Christy has a lot of like deadpan responses to a lot of Rish lines, and those are always my favorite to do. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, it's tough to get that exact cadence and reaction that you have in the moment during the live read and then transferring that onto when you record independently.
Yeah, you kind of have to psych yourself up, right? Do a couple of readings.
So many takes.
In terms of Star Wars, we can talk a little bit about your guys' personal experiences. I know, Velvet, you've talked a little bit about it when we recorded earlier this year. I think you were on like almost like the first episode, right?
I think I wasn't the very first one, actually.
Yeah, we try to get everybody of the main cast on again. But we can just reiterate for people who maybe haven't heard. So let's go around and sort of talk about your own personal experiences with Star Wars and fandom in general, if you have experience with it. And we can start with you, Paige.
Well, I'm pretty new to Star Wars.
Welcome.
Thank you. I mean, when I was younger, I had seen all the original Star Wars, and I tried to rewatch them as an adult. And I'm not going to lie, I found it quite difficult. I'm really enjoying the new ones that are coming out, and the storyline is really interesting, and I can see how it's keeping the newer generation engaged. They're really good at that. But other than that, I don't know too much on it. I just know I enjoy watching them when they come in the theaters.
Not a mega fan, but an appreciator, right?
Yeah, exactly.
See, that works, though. Everybody has different ways of engaging, and as long as you're enjoying it, that's all that matters. Did you learn a little bit of something new from recording this audio drama for about fandom in general?
Honestly, I have no idea how it connects to Star Wars.
Totally fine.
But I appreciate that a lot of people do.
Awesome. How about you, Angela?
I am born and bred. I was raised on the Star Wars movies. When I was in middle school and high school, I read all the books, all the extended universe stuff. I think I still have all of the Star Wars like visual dictionary guides, the ones that are like guides to vehicles and guides to droids and alien races and stuff. I have a bunch of those, so I have memorabilia from way back. I used to play with my dad had the old original Star Wars figures, so I had those action figures.
Oh, nice. So you had a pretty good collection and probably an encyclopedic knowledge of certain things, right?
I have a cursory knowledge of lots of things is probably the better way to put it. It's been so long since I delved that deep into the lore. But for a little while, yeah, sure. For a bit, I was.
Awesome. Do you still follow stuff pretty closely, or is it just sort of like in the background now?
It's a little bit in the background now. I mean, I have really enjoyed a lot of stuff in the new movies. I like the new cast quite a bit. And yeah, I keep my ear to the ground. I live near Disney World, so I keep an eye on the theme park that's coming out.
Have you been to Galaxy's Edge yet, or?
No, not yet. I've been hearing a lot about the hotel, though. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's gonna like the ship hotel or the
The one that's basically like a cruise line. You're there for a few days, and it's like there's a prepackaged adventure that you're going on while you're staying there.
Yeah, they're like releasing some stuff around that, and well, the price point's sort of outside of mine.
Yeah.
I still really think it's cool.
Yeah, folks who want to go on cruises have the budget. I guess they could go to that.
True. I mean, and it's everybody's dream to be able to go on a starship. So. Awesome. How about you, Mike? I know that we've been mutuals on Twitter for some time, and I think we met at Celebration.
Yeah, we did, actually. That was right after the Skytalkers panel. Mm-hmm. Talked to you and Kirsty and Rachel and Salimo, and everybody there. It was that was kind of one of my highlights of Celebration, honestly, because kind of by way of the original, how I got into it, I was just a wee lad, but my Aunt Rose, which is a kind of a coincidental name, that she would be the one that got me into it. As a very small kid, there used to be a show, and Angela can probably remember this as well. There was a show on TV called Battle of the Network Stars. And this was NBC, ABC, CBS, and they would have, you know, guys like Robert Conrad or something would be doing arm wrestling or tug of war or something against somebody from another network. So when this movie came out, I didn't know anything about it. I remember seeing the movie poster in the theater when we went to see something else. And I saw Star Wars, and I thought, well, that sounds really, like, why would they make a movie out of Battle of the Network Stars? And my Aunt Rose told me, no, that's not the TV show. This is actually, and then she told me she spoiled the entire movie. She told me the whole entire story. We were driving to my grandma's house, and she and my mom were in the front, and she told me the entire story, and I said, I have to go see this. Like, why are we going to grandma's house? Can we turn around and go to the theater? But it was, and then as soon as I saw it, it became kind of everything to me. I constantly would write about it, read about it, draw pictures of the ships and the characters, and I would draw my own comic books. And, you know, at this point, you couldn't just get the movie. You couldn't take it home with you. So you had to use your imagination for 3 years and invent stories. So Splinter of the Mind's Eye came out. I was way into that. I was way into the Brian Daley Han Solo books and the Lando Calrissian adventures. And then I became kind of like my teenage years hit right at Return of the Jedi. So then that was the perfect time to just kind of step away from it. Cause as you know, when you get to be a teenager, you're just much too cool for kid things anymore.
Mm-hmm. There's bears in this. I'm too cool for this.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to admit I'm into Star Wars for a few years there because, you know, it's the early adolescence. You want to try and be cool all the time. But then, you know, many years later, then Phantom Menace came out and I went to see them in the theaters, but I wasn't as really into it. But then when it came back again, it just really, I don't know, it really hit me in the nostalgia kind of, obviously the first trailer was a big deal. It really hit a lot of people that way. But then I started to connect with the younger fans. I started to see through their eyes kind of how this was kind of the same thing that I experienced in the, you know, in the original years. And that's what kind of connected me now to the point where I almost feel more akin with the younger fans than the older fans, because I feel like a lot of the older fans are starting to kind of get in this disillusion phase with the new stuff. It seems like one or the other with the older fans, but I really feel like the energy and the exuberance and the kind of appreciation of it, some of the stuff that I'm learning, like I started listening to Marie Claire's podcast and you guys' podcast, who I heard Meta Machina mentioned through Scavenger's Horde, which I picked up on YouTube once upon a time. And I just started to really kind of appreciate, okay, now we're telling a story from a different perspective. It's not all about the male perspective anymore. And I really appreciate all the contributions of all the female podcasters and YouTubers and whoever's doing, you know, Ty and everybody else that's contributing all this analysis. And that's the stuff that's feeding me right now. And I just love it. I'm way into it now.
And I'm really glad for that, too. It's really nice to see. Because, I mean, I was an original trilogy fan, but that was like at 11 years old. And, you know, like growing up with it, but kind of getting away from it with the prequels and being able to come back and see new blood invigorating the fandom and also just sort of, yeah, getting a little too obsessed with it. It's been nice to have people around that are similar, like Marie Claire. Like when we met, we were just riding that high off of seeing that trailer, you know, that morning, that Friday morning of Celebration.
Right.
And just being surrounded by people that were all buzzed, you know, on this like energy has been so, and it continues to be perpetuated through, you know, this new content and stuff. I just am excited to be on this ride with you and everyone else.
Yeah, it's great.
How about you, Velvet?
It's interesting to hear you folks talk about.
Has your timeline been blowing up? I know that you follow me and Marie Claire.
It has. It's definitely a really great part of this whole endeavor as well, because Star Wars has been around for me since I was a kid. But because I was a kid, it was always just a very cool action thing. Like, I had old toys, I had old video games, and I only just knew it as an action series. I wasn't privy to all the deeper symbolism and the meanings until I started following all the fangirls. And then, you know, I'm watching all this Ty stuff, I'm watching all Marie Claire stuff, I'm reading all your tweets, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like a full-time obsession for us. It's kind of funny. It would be embarrassing, but I'm surrounded by wonderful people that make it legit, so.
Oh no, it's amazing. I've learned tons, which is why it's interesting to see that generational tie-in with the minisode, because it has been this weird kind of journey for me growing up with Star Wars, but really not getting to appreciate it until now that I'm older.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to kind of dip back in after, you know, maybe losing, not maybe interest, but just not like having as active as interest as you did before. I guess we can also talk about other interests, because I know that we all have other fandoms that we are participated in, or, you know, our projects in terms of D&D or podcasting, those kind of things. Let's talk a little bit about that. And Velvet, I know that you had some progression with your character in regards to D&D, right? Did you want to talk about any latest shenanigans you've been up to?
Oh, it depends on which character. Most of them are in kind of weird hiatus, but it's going and it's fun. The Morty's Devil Twitch stream is a lot of fun for me, especially because I'm finally playing, you know, like a tank, not a squishy one-shot wizard.
Oh. Nice. I'll be playing the wizard. Please keep me alive.
Just hide behind the fighter.
Just hide behind me. We had a boss fight, and by the end, I had more than half my health left.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, that is the biggest deal for me.
What's your class again?
Fighter Barbarian.
Okay, nice.
Feels good.
So do you play D&D as well?
I stream on Nerdsmith. We have a bunch of shows. I'm on a show called Shenanigans, and I play an arcane archer fighter. On there. And I was playing a barbarian for a really big game. We had 16 players that rotated in and out called Countless Heroes that I had so much fun with. I was really big into the roleplay side of being a barbarian, though. She was a paint maker, so she always did like war paint every time, and it was really,
really fun.
Did you
get like really creative with it, or?
Yeah, we had artwork of all of our characters from one of our players, and every time I would Photoshop a new face paint to put on the screen. It was really, really
that's
fun.
So fun.
She had like a Bowie lightning bolt in her face one time. When we discovered there was glitter in the world, all bets were off. Like, oh my gosh. She started making glitter paint.
You made it really fabulous.
Yes, she was fabulous. But yeah, I'm into D&D, and I was also weirdly raised in Star Trek as well. So, I mean, I find a lot of people that like both, but they typically are treated as two different fandom camps. But yeah, we were really big into Star Trek as a family as well. I remember we had a party when Deep Space Nine had their wedding episode of Worf and Dax.
Oh my gosh, awesome.
We had like a full-on, we had a wedding cake, like a little cake that we put it was really cute. It was me and my sister and my parents. But yeah, we had like a little like fancy dinner party sort of thing.
I would have loved to have gone to that because I'm a huge Deep Space Nine fan. And I do agree, like I know most of my Star Wars friends are really into Star Trek as well. I think there's this false dichotomy situation going on where people think that you can't be into both. Like,
well, they scratch a different itch. They're not the same type of story, and there's no reason why you can't enjoy both types
exactly.
of stories.
And there's no reason you can't be completely avid about both, too, I've found.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
How about you, Paige?
Well, for me, it's D&D is probably my other one. It was my entry into podcasting and streaming, thanks to Tavern Tales. That was my very first one. That was my introduction. And I think that was 2 years ago now. I can't even keep track of how many games we've done now. We just started a new adventure in the Hidden Shrine of Tamachan, which is pretty fun, and it's been pretty interesting, especially our character names, but I'm not going to say anything because I feel like it's better for people to listen and catch on because it's pretty funny.
Yes, we absolutely have to plug Kyle's other project here. This is it's amazing. What class do you play, at least?
I am a light cleric, and I'm playing an Asimar Protector, which is pretty interesting.
Ooh, that is really cool.
Yeah, we all kind of went for different races that I don't think people select often. So our entire party is a mixture of different type of races that none of us had ever played before, so it's pretty fun.
That is very cool. I played a bugbear once.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
That would be cool.
She had a thick Russian accent and ate nothing but meat all the time. She had jerky in her pocket all the time.
Pocket jerky.
We literally always talked about her pocket jerky. Somebody wanted to buy me one of those wallets that looks like it's made of bacon. I was like, yeah, it's a meat pocket. It's fine. I had so much fun with her. She was one of the weirdest characters I've ever played, and I loved letting loose. She was just so bizarre, and she had no social decorum, but everybody loved her because she was just really frank and nice about things. I think I based her backstory off Shrek. That's how I made her up. I was like, yeah, so she's a... I started out not thinking that. She was a bugbear, and she lives in a cave, and then these bandits show up and mess things up, and everybody thinks she's a hero because she beats up the bandits, and she doesn't really want to be a hero, but then she just has to kind of go with it. And I was like, oh my god, it's Shrek. No. But I just leaned into it. It was fine.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with stealing that backstory. It's pretty awesome, actually. Thanks. Mike, do you have any other fandoms or D&D interests?
No D&D. Early, I was into... Like when I was a kid, Batman was my jam, the Adam West version. The kind of shows that I was into as a kid were like, there's periods of my life where my fandoms changed, where it was, you know, Star Trek, the original series, Batman, $6 Million Man, things like that. And then gradually in the 80s, it became more, I guess, Next Generation premiered when, like 88, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. So that was a kind of a big deal when we were... in high school and college, Next Generation was kind of the thing. Everyone would gather together. We had, a lot of my friends were in the theater department or English departments, and we'd have, you know, we'd all have parties and watch the new episodes every week. And but after college, that was mostly there wasn't really a lot of my friends that were into that kind of stuff. But I found my main fandom was music and movies after college. So my huge obsession was dance music. So we do crazy things like drive 7 hours to get records from Chicago. Oh, wow. I grew up in Iowa. So we started kind of a rave collective in Northwest Iowa, and we pulled people from Omaha, Council Bluffs, Des Moines. Some people came from Minneapolis. We were friends with the guys who ended up forming Slipknot. And so DJ Starscream, Sid, was one of our friends. He drove from Des Moines one night to play a party for us. This was back in probably, I don't know, like 96 or something like that. And then I moved to Chicago because of house music. That was just like, it was everything to me. So that was kind of my main fandom. Like as soon as I was done like being fans of science fiction and things like that, it was just like I was 24/7 thinking about house music. And now I just kind of, I DJed for quite a while. And then probably in the early 2000s, I kind of, right about this, the time I started dating my wife, and roughly when I got to the point where it's like you go to the club and think, I'm a little too old to be here. It's yeah. Just, or you get home and you think you're a little too old to have been there.
What are all these children?
Yeah, you wake up the next morning and you're like, this is probably not the best idea for someone my age to be keep doing this. My knees are starting to feel it the next day. But I still have the love for it. So I still like, I'll do some productions and things at home. But audio and things like that was always kind of a big deal for me. When I was a kid, I made my own like little radio plays and things because of like the audio dramas that were on NPR at the time, which was the Star Wars audio drama. They had a Lord of the Rings audio drama on there, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That kind of stuff.
Yeah,
was,
I listened to that one.
Yeah, that was my thing when I was a kid. So like this opportunity presented itself. That was just kind of like, wow, this is right up my alley. And so that's kind of my fandoms. I'm a little uninteresting now, I guess, but that's pretty much it.
I feel pretty uninteresting as I only talk about one thing. So it's like, that's really neat. Yeah, I guess we've all talked about our, you know, different participations and different things. Does anybody have any specific experiences with fandom or at least online communication where you've met people that you might not have met in real life? And maybe talk about that. And let's start with you, Velvet.
I never got too involved with fandoms as far as specific, like, I guess, franchises go. But I mean, really just my entire history was basically just that with podcasting in general. And really D&D, like Paige, like if I had never gotten into D&D, I would have never tried to find an online community. And then I would have never like found the whole TTRPG scene.
Yeah, that's a really cool
online
community to find and become incorporated into. It's very loving. At least my experience with it. I don't know about yours, but yeah, and I know you've done a lot of role-playing. Have you done any other voice acting?
I'm trying to do more. I consider like all the different actual podcasts and stuff kind of a venue of voice acting because I'm still voice acting, but I would definitely love to do more. It's been new and interesting because I mostly did musical and classic stage acting in high school and college. And then, you know, I got thrown into role-playing in all these shows and it was like, improv.
Yeah, improv is a different animal, but just as fun. How about you, Angela?
I found a D&D group online a couple years ago, and they all turned into my Nerdsmith family. We made the network together. So D&D has basically changed the trajectory of my entire life as of a couple years ago. But I met a few of those people through the Critical Role fandom.
Awesome.
So just like really cool critters that that I had some things in common with. I've written a couple of fan songs for Critical Role, and met some people through the audition process trying to find a duet partner for one of them. All of my current friends are from the critter and the D&D community and everything that sort of snowballed from that, all the audio drama and podcasting and performance stuff. So I am incredibly grateful to fandom. It has been my home and continues to be my home.
That's so cool. Have you gone to any critter meetups or any kind of like con things?
I've been to a couple conventions. I'm actually going to Dragon Con this weekend.
Yay!
So I'll be out in up in Atlanta, and that'll be really, really fun. They usually do critter meetups. I went to WonderCon this past year. They had a huge critter meetup there. I just love people watching at conventions. People have incredible cosplay, and I just like sitting around and checking out everybody's work. They do it so that you can see the hard work they put into it.
Will you be doing any cosplay?
Not this time. I didn't have any time. I closet cosplayed Jessica Jones last
year. Oh, nice.
I was like, I have boots, I have jeans, they kind of have holes in them, and I have a leather jacket. I can do this. What was great was I cosplayed Jessica Jones, and then every time I crossed paths with another Jessica Jones, we both immediately went into character.
Awesome.
And it was amazing. I got a really fun picture with a few other Jessicas.
Like carrying around a flask?
What did I have? I had a bottle of water in a paper bag.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah. Gotta stay hydrated.
Well, that's cool. I did get to go to WonderCon in 2018 and awesome. Was able to actually meet Marisha Ray and Matt Mercer. So it's like a highlight of my experience. And I had actually not watched a single episode of Critical Role, which was horrible. But then I obviously...
Marisha's a really cool person, though.
Oh, God, yeah. Amazing. I was in a towel because I got out of the jacuzzi. It's a long story. But anyway, it was like the highlight of my...
Marisha Ray at a jacuzzi. Okay.
Yeah. It was a highlight of my nerd experience, for sure.
One of the other big projects, because I a lot of my friends come from the Critical Role community. The biggest project I ever did, it was one of the first ones. I was part of the team that wrote a fan musical out of the entire Hamilton soundtrack. We did the entire soundtrack, 2 hours of music, front to back, and told one of the story arcs on Critical Role. We had like 70 illustrators doing covers that looked like the Hamilton logo with different scenes, and so many voice actors and singers and stuff. It was an absolutely incredible experience. But that was my big foray into real hardcore fandom.
Oh, that is so cool. I think I've heard of that. Is it available on YouTube or...
Yeah. We were called the Cantata Pansophical, but you can just look up the Vox Machina musical and or Critical Role musical, and you'll probably find it. But yeah, we wrapped it in about 9 months. We worked on it.
And it was just an audio recording, not a video recording, or?
Yeah, it was just an audio recording. But there, if you watch it on YouTube, a couple of the videos actually have some fun little jokey things in them. There's one particular song that we made a giant joke about how Ashley Johnson's always on Skype and was losing connection all the time when they were playing. So there's like Skype call music and stuff. It's pretty funny. I got to meet a few of the cast members after we did the show, because we did a listening party out in Burbank. That was crazy, where I just flew out to California and met a bunch of the people that worked on the project with us, and we had like a little charity listening party, and a couple of the cast members showed up, so we got to hang out, and it was really, really amazing.
Oh, that is so neat. I'm excited for you. That's great. Dude, I might hit you up in private after this about critter stuff. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, sorry, I'm just fangirling here.
Isn't that
the appropriately named podcast?
Yeah, isn't that the point?
Yep. It helps being a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
So how about you, Paige?
I don't know. I haven't really ever considered myself part of any fandom worlds. But, you know, hearing everyone talk and kind of thinking back on it, I've been pretty big in the gaming community for a long time. I started... way back when in Vanilla WoW Classic. So I'm pretty excited for the live release today.
You're an OG.
And so I started with that, and I got really into gaming. And when the opportunity presented itself to start podcasting, I also do community theater. So gaming and community theater have been two of my things. And then when this opportunity came up for Tavern Tales and Morty's Devils and Fangirls, it really just built on all of those things I already loved and brought it all together in one fell swoop, I guess. I've been a pretty big Blizzard supporter for a long time, and I was really excited. I got married in October, and for our anniversary, we actually ended up going to the States. I'm from Canada, not the States. and we ended up going to BlizzCon, which was amazing. And super cool to be able to see everything and be there for all of their announcements and see all the cosplay of the different characters was it's an experience I could never have again. So it was pretty cool.
I have to imagine there's a ton of pageantry at things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the cosplay for BlizzCon is amazing. So beautiful. Did you meet up with anybody that you met online there? Or?
No, there have been some discussion about it, but it was so crazy. And there's just so many people that it never worked out to kind of meet within the same day or hour. The lineups get pretty big. There's a lot of crowds and it is very overwhelming.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience with Dragon Con that... It's really hard to find people. Like, so I can empathize with that totally. Will you go back, you think?
Yeah, I'd like to. There's been some rockiness with Blizzard in the last couple months, so I'm curious to see what the fans are going to think in the month/year to come and what those next BlizzCons will look like. I think I'd like to go for one of the anniversary ones. I mean, it's not cheap, so I think I'd like to save it up for a big one or a big announcement or release that's into, like, maybe Diablo.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Huge Diablo fan, yeah. So excited for that as well. Do you have a group, I'm assuming, that you're playing vanilla with?
No, not right now. Actually, maybe Kyle, if he's playing it.
Oh, nice.
Hop on.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm trying to convince my husband to get his WoW subscription back. He dropped out a couple expansions ago, but I'm working on it.
Get Aeron back on.
Yeah, exactly.
I have never ventured into WoW. That is a frontier I have not reached.
It's a time sink, but it is extremely fun if you have people to play with. I was in a guild a long time ago playing a chamois healer, and I miss it.
Yeah, we can all have a group together.
But wait, I have to be the one to bring it up. Horde or Alliance?
I started as Alliance, and I transitioned to Horde.
This is where we're married in the audio drama.
I feel you with that. I had the same experience. I started Alliance on a PvP server, and so my resentment was high, and then I finally made a Blood Elf Paladin, and
yes.
Loved it so much.
Yep.
For the Horde.
I have my original main from when I first started playing back in, I think, 2006, maybe 2005, whatever year it was.
Nice.
I still have my main, and she's kind of been my consistent main through all the expansions. And it's kind of cool to still have your original character through all of it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is nice. What are you playing?
It's a Shadow Priest.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, nice.
It has gone through a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah. Yeah, getting nerfed and then unnerfed quite a few
and
times.
Trying to get used to all of the changes, and it happens pretty frequently, which is kind of annoying, and I think that's where Blizzard's lost some of their fans. But as long as you stick with it and you make it through the down points, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. And Mike, we've talked about your fandoms, mm-hmm. but I know that we haven't really talked about your online experience in terms of meeting people. Celebration was good for that, I'm sure. But did you have any highlights to that?
Yeah, actually, this all kind of started back when The Force Awakens came out, because that's really kind of when the first teaser dropped. I was only listening to like one or two podcasts, and none of them had anything to do with Star Wars. And suddenly I just wanted to hear anything that had to do with that teaser. I wanted to hear whoever was talking about it. So I gradually started picking up a few podcasts and then a few more, and gradually, you know, that sort of changed from my original subscription list has changed quite dramatically. Now it's down to just a handful, and it's largely the people that are involved in this show. Just, you know, a few others that I mentioned, but the thing that really kind of keeps my interest going is the discussion on Twitter every day is it's like something you can do while you're doing something else, but it still maintains my full interest. And it's a good use of, I guess, my skills, which is to be interesting for a very brief time and then move on to something else. But it's like, I think I have a talent for brief, it's microblogging, which is what Twitter's supposed to be. And that kind of got me like, that was like, okay, here's my niche. And I was able to somehow find some friends through, there's a story with another one of the podcasters. I ended up hooking him up with all my old action figures.
Oh, so nice.
That was, that's well documented. I was guest on their show a couple of years ago, but I began to realize there's, you know, there's real people on the other side. It's like when you meet the podcasters in real life, it becomes, it's sort of strange at first. You feel like you're listening to a live podcast, like right next to you. When I've just everybody I'm talking to, I hear their voices. I'm like, this is so bizarre that I'm standing next to you talking to you. Because I listen, you know, it's, you feel a certain sense of intimacy or friendship with somebody you've never met just because you listen to them in your ears every week talking for an hour or two at a time. And that kind of stuff is what really kind of excited me about Celebration. And there was parts of it, like the online sort of segment that I'm in is somehow I've managed to become associated with, I guess, the Raylo kind of community, because I consider myself a Raylo, but I'm not like, I've never been into shipping or whatever. I just like, I looked at the text and went, well, duh, it's, you know, that's kind of obvious. And then yeah, everyone that else that was saying it, I'm just like, yeah, okay, you guys are right. And I'm, I guess, one of you. But at the same time, when I knew there was the big Raylo meetup at the Bean, for example, and I don't know what it was. I feel like it wasn't really my place to be there without being invited so much. You know what I mean? Like I would love to have gone, but I don't know. I still have this sort of, I almost feel like this weird distance or that it's not my place. Like I feel like that's like, I don't know how to say it, but I feel like presumptuous to assume that I'm part of it. I appreciate all the welcoming support of the community, if you want to call it that. But I feel like, I don't know, I always just sort of feel sort of self-conscious about it. Does that make any sense to you? I don't know.
I understand completely. You know, I've felt like I've been participating in this fandom, so by default for a very long time, because I've always like supported the theory, but I didn't really get into the whole shipping culture thing until probably about 2 years into it. Obviously loved the fan art and the fan fiction, but I didn't really like engage as a creator. And so I never felt like I was really truly part of it. But I think in that sense, it's a little bit of, it's internal gatekeeping sometimes what we do, yeah. You know, like we didn't have many guys there, but every guy that came was welcome and had a good time. And I can understand feeling like, oh, I'm not really participating strictly in this sort of like shipping community. Am I welcome? Yeah. But from an insider perspective, everyone is welcome. We're so happy to have you. You know, even if you're just honorary, you're not like over here writing fan fiction or anything. We're just happy that, like, at least from my own experience, and I know that Marie Claire probably shares this, is just having a sense of community is nice, and also not having a sense of shame or guilt around it, especially as something that's a little bit more on the girly side of things. Mm-hmm. It's been nice to have kind of that validation from other people. I don't know about anybody else listening in here, but. If you don't mind being adjacent to a huge Raylo fandom, but we can be a little bit obnoxious, but the memes are funny. Well,
the Raylo community has the best sense of humor on Twitter. I'm sorry, that's just, these are just facts.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree.
What pulls me into that sort of gravitational field is I'm drawn to a good sense of humor, a sarcastic, dry sense of humor, and that's like, that describes the Raylo community pretty accurately.
Yeah, we're all kind of a little bit of salty. We try to be sweet sometimes, but the salt comes out. Can't help it. Well, but you do have some funny stuff online, so thank you for engaging. Sure. All right, I think we're getting close to the end here, so we can sort of wrap this up by talking about anything that we're looking forward to, I guess, in regards to our projects, what we want to plug about ourselves online, or what you're looking forward to in regards to Star Wars and like December. Velvet, how about you? Did you want to start out with that?
Sure. I mean, I'm always looking forward to more Star Wars content, and specifically all the fangirls' reaction to it.
You'll see a lot of it for the next 4 months.
I will be keeping a close eye on my timeline. And other than that, season 2 of Morty's Devils on Twitch will be starting up soon. Whoop. So keep a lookout for that and feel free to join us. It's always a pretty wild ride in the chat. Season 2 of Stories of a Broken Sun is chugging along. We're about halfway through, and we just started season 3 of Flight Risk. So that's been pretty fun too. And we were lucky enough to have Mark, who's the DM from Coruscant Knights, to join us. So we're doing kind of like a fun crossover there.
Awesome. And is there an easy way to find those online?
Yeah, so you can find Flight Risk on @FlightRiskPod. Morty's Devils is @Morty's Devils. And Stories of a Broken Sun is @BrokenSunRPG. And if all else fails, I have them tagged in my bio on @OGBrownSugar. So you're always free to just follow me.
Yeah, absolutely follow you. Thank you. How about you, Paige?
Make sure to listen to season 2 of Morty's Devils, happening soon. I'm also, so that's going to be coming out, which I'm really excited for. Tavern Tales, as I've said previously, it always has really fun, interesting episodes that come out, and there's always something that happens or goes terribly wrong. So keep listening for that or subscribe to the podcast for that one. I'm honestly just looking forward to being a part of a new community with audio dramas and looking at getting into more and building my experience and meeting more people in respect to audio dramas. It's been a lot of fun. I've only done a little bit. I've submitted some auditions trying to get into some other ones, but it's definitely really interesting in a very cool world.
So this is sort of a gateway drug into doing more?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. Well, I look forward to it. And is there an easy place to find you online? Or do you want to be found?
Oh, you can find me everywhere. You can follow me on Twitter @next_page. Or if you are on the Instagram train that seems to be going really fast right now, you can follow me @MissModelPage.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I like Instagram, but it's definitely, it's skyrocketing into the ether now as a popular, you know, platform.
Exactly.
And how about you, Angela?
I'm sort of on the tail end of a really big project right now. I am a showrunner and writer and voice director for a new kickstarted animated series called Pactless Patrons. It's a D&D inspired show about monsters and fae and fiends that are in a support group for not being able to get warlocks to sign their souls over. So they nice. Need a little bit of support from their fellow monsters. We just hit our base Kickstarter goal, so we will definitely be making at least one season of the show. I'm really excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're hoping for more. Our Kickstarter's open till September 5th, and you can find out more information at packlesspatrons.com. I made a promo video for it. It's like a fake commercial. Kind of feels like one of those like Shady Oaks rehab facility, nice. That sort of thing. So we played around with that. I'm really proud of the promo materials that we've made so far. So you can find that at packlesspatrons.com, and I am on Twitter @darling_gypsum. I just post about all sorts of junk, lots of D&D, lots of nerd stuff. So I'm a good time if you want to follow me on Twitter.
Absolutely. Thank you. Looking forward to it, actually. All right. And Mike, I follow you on Twitter already, but
right.
Go ahead and plug yourself.
Yeah. So you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter. It's @goodhearted, GOEDHARTED. And I basically tweet a lot about Star Wars, sometimes about music and other things, but mostly I'm just there to kind of have fun and goof around. I have some things that I'm working on in my own personal project studio, which I hope to kind of unveil in the next few months. But if you listen to the minisode and you liked anything you heard, be sure and let me know on Twitter. I'll appreciate it, but I probably won't listen because I'm like Adam Driver. I hate the sound of my own voice. So, but you know, it's I would appreciate anybody. Don't feel shy to interact or whatever on Twitter. It's great. I appreciate everybody on there, and I appreciate everybody in the immediate circle of fandom and Kyle and Marie Claire and everybody for allowing me the opportunity to do this, which is a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being part of this as well. Thanks. Everybody, actually. Thanks for putting up with me as a host.
We love you, Nat. It's
really fun.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to play with some of you, coming up, and also, of course, post on Twitter with you guys as well. So you can, of course, find me, Nat, @AshesForFoxes on Twitter. And I am also the host of Meta Machina, a biweekly podcast on genre fiction from the feminine gaze. So that's @MetaMashina, MetaMashina on Twitter, or metamashina.com. Big thanks, of course, to Kyle and Marie Claire for putting together this audio drama and having us part of it. And hope you guys have a wonderful evening. Any last words, guys?
Listen to Fangirls. I assume you already are if you're listening to this podcast.
Listen to it again.
No,
listen
only,
to it again.
You only listen to meta commentary on podcasts you don't listen to.
You know, I would probably do that, but
it takes a very special kind of nerd to only want to hear about people nerding out about something.
It's like me watching Talk Smack now without actually watching any of the Critical Role episodes before.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I think that's it, guys. Thank you so much.